a previously recorded Matt Slick show.
It's Matt Slick Live. Matt is the founder and president of the Christian Apologetics Research Ministry, found online at carm.org. When you have questions about Bible doctrines, turn to Matt Slick Live for answers. Taking your calls and responding to your questions at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
All right, everyone. Welcome to the show, Matt Slick Live. I'm your host, Matt Slick. If you want to give us a call, as usual, all you got to do is dial 877-207-2276. And if you're new to the show, you're just kind of curious to know what we do here, what we do is answer questions about the Bible and cults, false religious systems, Islam, atheism, evolution. We talk about all kinds of things. I've been studying for like 40 years on all this kind of stuff and been doing radio for, I don't know, 15 years now. Anyway, so if you want to call, you had a question, the number, 877-207-2276. But then again, you might be cautious about trusting a guy in the radio named Slick, as a lot of people are. Hey, alright, let me give you just a little heads up on some stuff. No big deal. We have some schools. I would like to push the schools because they're important. The online schools that we have, if you want to study theology, you want to study apologetics and some critical thinking techniques and things like that. Well, all you got to do is go to the CARM website, carm.org, and you'll see the information on any of the pages there on the right-hand side. You'll see all the links and everything for that. And we also let people know that if you can't afford them, we only sell them for $50 right now during the Corona thing, all three schools. But if you can't afford them, just let us know, and we give them to you for free. We use them, when people pay, we use them to help keep the lights on, pay the missionaries and things like that. So, Just remember that. All right, and also, I wrote a novel, and it's my third one, actually. It's a sci-fi novel, and you can check it out on the carm.org website, carm.org. It's my only venture into sci-fi. I love sci-fi. I've always enjoyed it. And, I wonder if Carm, the website's down. Let's see. Maybe someone can check it out really fast and let me know. We're having the site rebuilt, and I'm trying to get into it right now on my end. Of course, the internet where I'm at has been a little bit wonky the past few days, so maybe it's something like that. But is it down, Charlie? Can you tell? It's up? It's working? All right. So one guy says it's working. Let me try this. Make sure. And could be on my end, which often, that can happen. I don't know. I'm not seeing it. Anyway, you can check out the, people say it's up. Maybe it's just an outage on my end. We have stuff going on. But yeah, and this reminds me, I had to rebuild my computer tonight. I'm an ex-computer tech, and my computer's been acting a little bit wonky, just a little bit. Just those things that bug you, It's like, I'm on my computer 8-10 hours a day, so I know my system really well, and I push it really hard. So I'm going to rebuild it tonight. Not a big deal. And let's see what else. Time Trap novel. And if you get that, 20% goes to the CARM ministry, the CARM website. So that's always nice. And actually, I'm going to re-release Atheistica. It's a novella. And we've moved it over to another account. And so that'll be up in a day or two. And then I'll put some information up on that on the CARM website. And then, of course, there's the first novel, The Influence. I'm working on, intermittently, the second of the series. And it takes a lot of work to write that stuff, particularly when you describe angelic warfare, demonic forces, and things like that. And weave theology in to the pages so people don't know they're being taught theology. I love theology. I do. And also, hey, I'm just waiting for the calls. Nobody's calling right now. 877-207-2276. Give me a call. And let's see. We got a Twitter account. If you want to join the CARM Twitter account, just go to Twitter and look up CARMORG. I think that's what it is, CARM, or just CARMORG. And we've got over 6,000 tweets and over 13,000 followers. So if you want to check it out, I'll be putting up another tweet today. And what else? We got the Patreon thing. You can check out the Patreon stuff. We do Patreon, P-A-T-R-E-O-N. Just type in Matt Slick. You can check it out. All right. Now, why isn't anybody calling? There's one right there. That's good. So one person's calling. So that's definitely good. So we got the lines open, folks. Give me a call. And usually, we're by the end of the show, we can't get to everybody. I think it's because of when they're driving home or just get home or something like that on the East Coast. And, of course, we want to expand the ministry to other radio networks whenever possible. And just to let you know that if you do sign up for the schools, I forgot to mention, allow up to 24 hours for everything to go through. We've been having a little bit of an issue with the system. Most of the time it works fine, but sometimes it doesn't. And so just allow 24 hours. We have someone who checks everything and make sure it goes in. And also, just doing a lot of intro stuff today, aren't I? I will, let's see. Oh, yeah, we could use your support. If you want to support us, all you got to do is go to carm.org. And on the right-hand side of any page, you'll see the issue there for supporting us. And we ask $5 a month, $10 a month, not much. But get enough people doing that, then we have, we're pretty much stable and secure. And we have lost some donors because of the coronavirus thing. And that's just the way it goes. But if you're able to support us, please check it out. All right. And, hey, since I'm rolling with all these intro things, I will not be on the radio live Monday. I got a doctor's appointment. Got to take care of some stuff, and so you know how life goes. All right, let's get on the phones with Aaron from Salt Lake City. Aaron, welcome. You're on the air.
Matt, good to hear your voice.
Hey, thanks.
What seminaries do you recommend?
Well, it depends on what you want. If you want a really good seminary that's not compromising, then I would stick with Westminster Seminary in Philly or Westminster Seminary in San Diego. Dallas Theological Seminary, I heard, is still quite good. And also RTS, Reformed Theological Seminary in, I think it's Orlando, Florida. But I'm not real familiar with a whole bunch of other ones. John Knox, I've heard, is pretty decent, too. So those are about the only ones I'm familiar with.
Thanks, Matt.
Why, you going to go?
Yeah. If you want me to stay, I can stay.
Well, have you got your bachelor's?
I'm finishing that up right now.
Okay. And do you have an idea of where do you live geographically? What state?
I could go anywhere.
You can go anywhere? Are you Reformed?
Yes.
Well, and if you're close to the East Coast, Philly is really good, Westminster, Philly. But if you like sun and stuff, you can go to the People's Republic of California in Escondido, which is the north county of San Diego, and that's where I went to seminary and graduated in 1991. So those are good sems. And then there's, like I said, RTS in Florida, which is good also. So
sweet, thanks. I've been looking at Midwestern Seminary, Midwestern Baptist Theological Seminary.
Yeah, I've heard
Kansas
good things
City.
About them.
Any thoughts on that?
Yeah, I have. I've heard some good stuff. I've also heard that some of the professors use the CARM website and recommend it, and I have been out there. Went out there for an EMNR, Evangelical Ministry to New Religions meeting years ago, and got to tour the campus and stay on campus and stuff like that. So I've heard good things about Midwestern. So there's a lot of SEMs out there, but a lot of them are just not that good. But if you're Reformed, then you'll like Westminster. But I'm going to warn you though.
Thanks a lot, Matt.
I got some advice for you, though. If you can, if you go to Westminster or whatever, start studying Greek on your own during the summer and study it.
Yeah.
Learn how to read it. Learn the alphabet and start getting vocabulary down, because you're jumping into the deep end.
Brutal.
Yeah. And when I went to Westminster, it was the fifth most difficult graduate school in the country. And, it was, I'll just tell you, it was tough. And are you married?
Yes.
Well, let me ask you, you got kids?
I've got three kids.
Okay. And I'm curious now, how old are you?
I'm 38. We've met before.
Wait, which Aaron is this?
Aaron Shovelwalla.
No, you don't sound like you, buddy.
You don't sound like me. I'm the same person.
You don't sound like you. I've known you for, people don't know, we've known each other for years. We've met many times, but you just don't sound like you. Your voice over the radio right now. I don't know why.
I don't know why.
That's okay.
Good to see you, though.
Well, I'm not curious, man. When are you going to do this? This coming year?
Oh, I'm trying to finish up my four-year degree right now. I never finished it earlier, and so I've got options starting this fall. I don't know, though.
And your wife's behind you on this one?
I think so, yeah. I mean, yes. Yeah. Well, general answer is yes, although whatever we pick, I'd want to make sure we're on board with.
Right. Well, you know, I've known you for a long time, and you're definitely smart enough to be able to do it, and you're going to love it. And it's a lot of work, but it's great. It really is. You get to be exposed to some great things. So, yeah, man, let me know what you decide, you know. Let me know.
Sounds good. See you around, Matt.
All right, Aaron. God bless, buddy. All right, that's Aaron. He does not sound like Aaron. I mean, I've known him for years. We've done open-air preaching together at Temple Square. We've done it in Manti, in Mormonism. He works with Bill McKeever and Eric Johnson down there, Mormonism Research Ministry. He lives in Salt Lake City area. I've been to his house. So he's a great guy, and he just does not sound like who he is. To me, anyway. Folks, what is going on? We don't have any callers waiting. We have 5 open lines. It's very unusual. Give me a call, 877-207-2276. And I'll fill the time here by telling you I've been working on an outline on Roman Catholicism. And it's 142 pages so far. That includes the title page and everything like that. And check this out. I was doing some research on Mary. I'm going to read you something that John Paul II said in 1987, and I was doing a section, just a modification and updating on a section on the issue of Mary, and there is a statement in the Catechism of the Catholic Church, paragraph 2067, that says, by entrusting ourselves to her prayer, we abandon ourselves to the will of God together with her. So that statement, I wonder what else they say, and I did some research, went to the Vatican website, and lo and behold, the first article I find, and I condensed some of the comments and statements in it. And it says, I entrust to you, Virgin Mother of God, all the faithful of this land. And it's a big article. And so I extracted the things that the Pope, John Paul, was entrusting to Mary. So all the faithful of this land, my brother bishops, all the holy people of God, the families of America, all the women of the church, all those engaged in the Christian struggle of life. And also the whole church in America, because this was done in Los Angeles when he said this. And, you know, to me, that's just abject idolatry, because we don't, you know, nothing in the Scripture teaches us that Mary can hear millions of prayers and is the one to be entrusted with America. We entrust Christ with America. We ask the Lord Jesus, we ask God Almighty that what we should do and ought to do is pray to him for the entrustment of all issues, people, and things like this. And it just, as you guys know, I really believe that the Roman Catholic Church is heretical and apostate, and all who believe in official Roman Catholic theology are going to go to hell. And I believe that. I really do. And I very calmly say it. I was never a Catholic, and no one hurt me or something like that. The Catholic Church is not resentment. It's just what I believe. From theology and studying the Scriptures in the Catholic Church. Be right back, folks. We have 4 open lines. Give me a call, 877-207-2276. Be right back.
It's Matt Slick Live, taking your calls at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
All right, everybody, welcome back to the show. Let's get on the phones with Nelson from California. Nelson, welcome. You're on the air.
Hey, Matt. Once again, hi. God bless. Have you ever heard of this guy named Christopher Hitchens?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he passed away 2011. He's an atheist, anti-theist, worked against the Christian Church.
No, I'm just wondering because I'm sorry. Is that because the reason why I'm asking, because I have a friend that he's, I guess, somewhat atheist, mm-hmm. and he sent me a video of him, and I was just wondering if you ever debated him.
No, I would have loved to. I would have loved to have had a debate. I don't have a PhD or doctorate, so generally he wouldn't have debated me, but I would have loved to have dealt with his arguments and the issues that he has against religion. He has a statement, basically, you know, that he would be very dismissive of religion, says it doesn't have any evidence, but I would love to have tackled him on that one. But, he's passed away, yeah. And right now, unless he repented at the last minute, he is unfortunately crying out in agony. So,
wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was listening to just part of his video, and I was just like, wow, this, I didn't really listen to it all, but it was just, but I was just wondering about it, though. But, and then also, I had mentioned it before, this is a second question. I've been witnessing to a Jehovah's Witness, and I told them about the Revelation 14:4, referring to that that not they won't be defiled
yes.
by women,
uh-huh.
And basically said that he didn't, because we're talking for so long that he said that doesn't mean that they're men, and so I have their own app of Jehovah's Witnesses.
Doesn't mean
and so
men.
I checked the.
Huh? I'm sorry, but if a J-Dub would have said that to me, I would have had a hard time not laughing out loud. They're not defiled with women doesn't mean they have to be men. It could be women, I guess, that they're 100. It's so stupid.
So, So I was gonna ask for your opinion, because I looked up into their app. You mean and I quoted a couple of scriptures, and so I wanted to ask you, and I'm pretty sure they're tearing the scriptures apart. The first one was James 1:27,
right.
And then James 4:4.
James 1:27, okay. Pure and undefiled religion in the sight of our God and Father is this, to visit orphans, widows in their distress, and keep yourself unstained from the world. Yes, and what's the other verse? What? James.
And then James 4:4.
You adulteresses, do you not know friendship with the world is hostility toward God? Okay, and so what's the point about him?
I'm just in the last verse, I guess, is 2 Corinthians 11, verse 2.
Okay. For I'm jealous for you with a godly jealousy, for I betrothed you to one husband, so that to Christ I might present you as a pure virgin. Okay, yeah.
So... I'm guessing he may tell me these scriptures, because this is actually in their Bible that links to that verse from verse 4, because I clicked on the verse, I had like a little link there, and I clicked on it, and these are the verses that reference for that one.
Okay, so what's the point, though? I mean, what is the question?
So my question is to you, are they ripping that out of context? Definitely, aren't they?
In order to establish what? What's the point? What's their point? They're trying to establish that they would cross-reference those.
Well, I'm asking if they're ripping that verse out of context with that scripture, aren't they?
I don't know. In reference to what? Because if they're going to say that the Trinity's not true and they use those verses, it wouldn't work. Then they'd be out of
from,
context.
From Revelation chapter 14, verse 4.
Oh, you mean the 144,000? Oh, I see.
Gotcha. Referring to the mm-hmm. exactly that. That's, I'm sorry.
Okay. Well,
but yeah.
Okay. Okay. I'm looking at the. Anyway, it says they've kept themselves chaste. You could just go to Revelation 14:4, and just do that. That they've not had any relations. And that's what it means. So they've not known any sexual relations. That's what it's actually saying in the Greek there. So you can just stick right there and do that. What they're trying to do is say, undefiled with the world, they use those other verses. Well, they're, okay. But that's not what Revelation 14:4 is about. It's talking about sexual relations, and they've kept themselves chaste. And just say, this is what it says. They're chaste. So how many of the 144,000 of the Jehovah's Witnesses have children? Okay? You know, so just say to them, you can go to those other verses, you can reference them, but let's stick with this verse here, Revelation 14:4. It says they've not been defiled with women, for they have kept themselves chaste. Okay, these are the ones, right? And it's really important that we understand this, for they are the ones. And the word there, the ones, in Greek, is a single Greek word. It's a definite article. And it's the word hoi. And it's the nominative plural, masculine, of the word the. And so you can do this in Greek, where nouns have feminine, masculine, and neuter gender. And so this is hoi, which is definitely masculine plural. So it's saying these are the ones. It's like saying these are the males. You know, the plural. These are the males who have not been defiled with women.
Oh, wow.
That's what it's saying in the Greek. So they don't understand what they're talking about. All right? So these, which is hutoi, is also in the masculine. So it's these are the ones. These are, that's just the verb, are, but these is plural masculine, and the word for the is plural masculine. These are the ones who have not been defiled with women. Okay? So that's what it says.
Okay. So, perfect. Okay, because we didn't get into that debate with him, but he just said that they are women too in that group. And so, of course, I didn't believe that. And so.
No, I've had to have discussions like this with Jehovah's Witnesses before and other groups and cults and say, look, this is what the Greek says here. And you have to understand this. I give them a Greek lesson really briefly. You know, like the word women is feminine by nature. The word man is masculine by nature. Well, we don't have much more than that. Actor, actress, you know, things like that. Emperor, empress, queen, king. These few words we have in English have gender in them. But in Greek, almost all of them do. And it's just, I don't know if you speak Spanish or not, but in Spanish, it's you know, you do, right? Right?
Yeah.
Okay, so la mesa, the table, it's feminine, you know? And so it's how it is. It's like that in Greek, except more so.
Yeah.
And so...
like ella, saying her, él,
right.
Him.
That's right.
Yeah.
Ella. Or, and so feminine, masculine. And that's like saying in Spanish, ellos, you know, these are the ones. Those men, those masculine ones. That's what's going on, okay?
All right, well, thank you very much, Matt. Appreciate it.
All right, man.
God bless.
Okay, God bless. Hey, folks, we'll be right back after these messages. We have two open lines, 877-207-2276. Be right back.
It's Matt Slick Live, taking your calls at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
All right, welcome back to the show, everybody. Let's get on the air with Stacy from Utah. Stacy, welcome.
Hello.
Hi.
First, I want to thank you for what you do. I very much appreciate it.
Well, thank you. Praise God.
And I had talked to you on Monday about my sister-in-law, who believes she's being haunted or by a spirit of her husband.
Right, I remember that.
And she's not a believer. She's not Christian, and I don't think she believes in anything. But is there a way to make that spirit go away, either by me or my husband, because we are both Christians? Is there a way to help with that at all?
Well, what you can do, if you think there's something demonic going on in a house, just have a group of Christians. You don't have to have a group, but it's just better to have a group if you can do it. If not, that's okay. And you and your husband can go through the house, and he can pray, and or you can do it too. But you go through the house, and you're praying out loud. I like to do it that way, pray out loud. And anoint every wall, every door, every room with oil as you're just praying out loud and asking the Lord Jesus to bind any evil that might be potentially there. And you don't want to pray to demonic spirits, as a lot of... really bad teachers on TV say, you know, they'll talk to, and I was talking to the devil, you know, and you don't do that. And So that's one option. You can get elders in a church involved, and they can make recommendations at this point. You can also look in the house to see if there's any doors. And a door basically is, you know, well, she has a Ouija board, for example. Not that you have a crystal in your house, it means it's a door, but it's what the crystals are used for in the occult ceremony. So now people use them for getting in tune with energy. And they'll wear crystals on their necklaces and things like that because they think it's, you know, it's going to help them. And this is an occult kind of a procedure. And so these are doors. Also, drug abuse, particularly injectables, are also can be doors to the occult. And in fact, the word in Greek for sorcery is pharmakia. So there's just lots of things. So what you first do is pray, but when you start praying, if there is any demonic activity going on there, then you might become subject to a little bit of oppression and stuff in your own life for a little bit. You just got to be prepared for it, that's all. Because you get their attention, so to speak. All right?
If I don't think it's the occult, could this just be something not evil, or...
If there's a real manifestation, I wouldn't think it was from God. Now, that's not to say God can't do certain things today. I believe he can, and I believe he does with different appearances of Jesus. That's what it seemed to be. Muslims are having visions and dream of Jesus all over the Middle East, and they're converting by the thousands to Christ. But it's not talked about in their news media, and it's kept under wrap, but it's happening. Now, when Uncle Bob and Aunt Mary start showing up in the foot of your bed at night, it's probably a familiar spirit, a demonic manifestation seeking to imitate and to entrap people. So you'd be very, very careful. But it doesn't mean that that it is happening, because if your loved one is saying that they're experiencing something, well, maybe it's just their imagination. Because a lot of times people go into sleep, and it does happen with people.
Oh, no, this is awake, and things are being fallen, dropped, and she's there, and it happens in front of her.
Has anybody else witnessed this?
Yeah, her stepdaughter.
And the stepdaughter verifies this?
Yes.
Okay.
She was scared.
Okay. Well, then the thing to do is ask them if they'd be willing to have you come into the house and pray. You and your husband do that. Anoint the entire place with oil. And be praying. Pray out loud to the Lord Jesus Christ. Ask the Lord to bind whatever's going on. And I'd also contact some elders at a local church and have them either pray for you during this procedure and or join you in or lead in it. Because if there's witnesses to this, and some things are happening then. And I have seen things back in my occult days. I know that things can happen. I know they can. I've seen stuff. So you've got to close the doors. You've got to pray through it's a spiritual battle. You need help with that. Okay?
Another question my sister wanted me to ask is, she knows some individuals, one that's Mormon, and there's this spirit he can see. My sister-in-law can't see this spirit, but this one can see them, and they know his name.
The Mormons say this?
Is that the same?
This is a Mormon saying this, you said?
Yes.
Yeah. Well, Mormonism is a non-Christian cult, so they're praying to a false god, false religion, and so they automatically have a giant door open to the occult. And a lot of stuff in the Mormon temple ceremony is occultic, and secret handshakes, secret words, aprons that give power and authority. These are all occult practices. But so he's probably just involved with something occultic without knowing it. Okay.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome, Stacy. God bless. Let me know what happens, all right?
God bless. Thank
okay.
you.
All right. All right, let's get on the phones with Russell from North Carolina. Russell, welcome. You're on the air.
Hey, man. How's it going, brother?
It's going, man. Hanging in there. What do you got, buddy?
I wanted to ask you, was Goliath any relation to the Nephilim?
I don't know. He's apparently with the Anakim, And some people have, from what I understand, some people have said that it might be out of the Nephilim relationship there, because he was like 9 feet tall. So we don't know for sure, but it's a possibility. Okay.
Yeah, well, I just wondered, because I've always heard Goliath described as being very, very, very tall.
Yeah.
And also, too, kind of like maybe he was not all there mentally.
Well, anyone who would defy the true living God isn't there mentally all the way. But, you know, so we don't know if he's an actual Nephilim. But I got a question for you.
Hi.
David picked up 5 stones to tackle Goliath and killed him on the first throw. Why did David pick up 5 stones?
Why did he pick up 5 stones?
Because Goliath had 4 relatives. 4 plus 1 is 5. So David knew that if he tackled Goliath, that it either his two brothers, or 4 brothers, I've heard, but 2 brothers and maybe 2 close cousins that were associated with him, and so that were named, I believe, or described. And in the culture of blood revenge, if you hurt somebody, their relatives come and hurt you back, and then it would often escalate.
Yeah.
So he knew if he could tackle Goliath and kill him, he's going to have to tackle his brothers as well. So he picked up enough stones to do the whole job. Just a bit of trivia for you.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, you're always coming up with stuff, so that's why I enjoy listening to the program.
Well, praise God. Okay.
Yeah, I wanted to pass this on. I seen something on YouTube. This will blow your mind. They wrote at the bottom, "I am an atheist, but I love this gospel song. Where can I get the CD?" Well, how did that grab you?
Oh, that's unusual. But I do know atheists, and I've talked to atheists who enjoy even going to church. In fact, my brother-in-law denies God, and he goes to an SDA church because it's not really kind of choice, but he kind of has to go there to help his mother-in-law out, things like that, but he attends. So, you know, it's like that. It happens. Okay?
Okay, hey, I appreciate it, my man. You have a great rest of the week and a good week.
You too, man. God bless. Thanks. All right. Let's get on the air with Justin from Florida. Justin, welcome. You're on the air. Are you there?
Hi, Matt. Sorry about that. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can. Yeah. So what's up?
All right. Hi. I was wondering, how do you feel about the use of medical marijuana and its effects on the life of a Christian as it relates to our spirituality and our relationship with God?
The Bible says in Proverbs 31:6, give strong drink to the man who's perishing and wine to the one who's in distress. So the idea of using things for medical purposes is okay. And I do know that I've never done any drugs my entire life. So I do know that there's a lot of benefits to it. So if it's being used under medical supervision for medical reasons, I don't have a problem with it. Not this casual, hey, I'm nervous, I need it, you know, and that's abuse. Because I do know that there are elements within it that are useful and can help, particularly with nausea and people recovering during chemotherapy and things like that. Okay? Good enough?
Okay. Now, I have a little bit more on that. Now you got a break coming up.
Okay, well, hold on then. And folks, we'll be right back after these messages, so please stay tuned.
It's Matt Slick Live, taking your calls at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
All right, welcome back to the show, everyone. Justin, are you still there? Justin?
Yes, I am.
Okay. So you had another comment or question?
All right, well, really quick, what was that chapter and verse again?
About what?
You gave me.
Oh,
Proverbs
31:6.
Okay. All right, 31:6. Now, on that, how do we you know, where do we draw the line with when we read in scripture about pharmakia? It's been very confusing to a lot of people about what is considered to be pharmakia. You know, okay. Marijuana, it's something that seems to open up your sensitivity to the spiritual dimension. I know a lot of Christians are, you know, utilizing this, and it's dangerous in certain ways.
The reason, for example, alcohol is not, we don't get drunk, is because the Bible said don't get drunk, because you want to be in control of your faculties. If you're going to, and you'll be responsible for your actions, and you have consequences to your actions, even if you choose to drink, you get drunk, and you do something bad, you should be held responsible. The idea, generally speaking, is that we do not want to have anything have control over us or lessen our ability to make proper judgments. So if you've broken your leg and you have to take painkillers and you're a little loopy for a few days, well, that's okay. It's not pharmakia. It's not sorcery. Sorcery is the issue of trying to contact the dark side, the spiritual realm, and using various things for that purpose. And so that's not what was going on when you know, for those who have the medical marijuana need for legitimate issues, then, okay, well, it's not pharmakia. It's just another medicine that is there. In fact, there are tribes people in the Amazon, and I've read articles about them, that they have knowledge of medical plants that are extremely helpful for all kinds of things, and their knowledge is being lost because their environments and other whatever things. But we know that the Bible says that the Lord has given us herbs and stuff for our healing. So use them, but don't use them as an excuse to be in sin.
And right.
So, you know, I've never smoked marijuana. I've never done it. I have no interest in it. I don't want to do that. The only way I ever would is if something happened and a doctor said, this will help you, an extract of it would help you for this or that reason under medical supervision, then I'd entertain it. But that's it. But what we have here is too many people saying, hey, look. Well, you know, for example, Matt Slick's on the radio. It's okay. I didn't say that. Under supervision and things like that, we'd be very, very careful.
All right. Well, thank you so much, brother.
All right, man. God bless, buddy. All right, let's get to Sean from North Carolina. Sean, welcome. You're on the air.
Hey, Matt. How's it going?
It's going. What do you got, buddy?
I had a question. I feel like we're, you know, living in such prophetic times right now. My question was what you think the possibility is. And I know, first of all, I want to start by saying, I know that the church will see the Antichrist and know who he is, even though he'll be deceiving and perform, you know, miracles, you know, as the Thessalonian says. So my thought is, and he'll be worshiped. And I'm thinking, who's going to worship a man? But then again, that's been done over history and history.
Well, the Catholic Church is going to be open for that. They're already worshiping Mary, a woman. So
they kind of worship the Pope too, as like the, you know. So I was wondering if you think the Pope could be the Antichrist, and if you've had that thought yourself.
I don't know if the Pope now is the Antichrist. I don't know if any Pope's going to be the Antichrist, but the Popes are of the spirit of the Antichrist. And we could know out of this, in Revelation talks about it, and 1 John talks about it, the spirit of Antichrist. And now there's going to be an individual who's the Antichrist. So who is he? Don't know. Do not know. Some people think he might come out of a Muslim country. So we don't know.
Do you think he will know himself, or will he be self-deceived?
Yeah. That's a good question. I think, you know, it's possible that he may know who he is, and in his insane hatred and depravity, doesn't care. He might not know, think he's serving God when he's actually serving the Antichrist. In my second novel, this reminds me, I'm going to have a character who's a Christian public figure who is actually serving demonic forces, and he doesn't know it. And it's called The Deception. That second novel in the series is going to be called The Deception. And he has a room where he goes in and
talks
to... No, I'm about 4 or 5 chapters, but I've got so many things I got to do right now. I need a month off where I can just write the whole thing, and then I can edit from the next 6 months.
Okay, cool.
I have codes in there and everything that I weave in. People don't know I do multi-level work when I do that kind of stuff. Names have certain syllables. Names are acronyms for things, and you know I do all kind of stuff with stuff that I never tell anybody about or what they are. They got to find them on their own. But at any rate, so is the Pope the Antichrist? Yeah. He's an Antichrist, undoubtedly, I would say. But I don't know.
Yeah. And then it brings me to another question. You know, I've always struggled with the pre-tribulation rapture.
Okay.
And struggled in a way of just getting frustrated by people believing it, honestly. And but with that being said, I had this thought, and maybe you've had this thought as well, that when the church at large, in America especially, thinks that they're going to be raptured away and mm-hmm. they're not going to go through any tribulation and they're not going to see the Antichrist, then how much more likely are the elect to be deceived? Now, I know the true elect aren't deceived, but
no, there's no true elect, and there's only the elect. They're not the true elect.
No.
Just the elect, yeah.
Yeah.
But the elect can't be deceived,
sure. But,
right, Matthew 24:24. But yeah, that's one of the dangers.
Would be,
yeah,
or that would be buying in if they're not thinking they're going to see the
sure.
Antichrist. How much more likely are they going to be deceived, right?
Well, if you'd watch TV, like I watched some TV stuff today, one of the guys on the radio show, Sid Roth, and there was an advertisement for something, and it was horrendous. And I don't recommend anybody watch Sid Roth. Period. He's just horrible. Well, these people are so deceived, and the people in the audience are also deceived by a lot of what they're saying. So, you know, I'm not. I have no problem with people believing pre-trib. Okay, I'm not pre-trib, but I'm not knocking it for this reason. But when people believe in pre-trib and the combination of those things that these false teachers are saying about God wants you healthy, God wants you wealthy, the whole thing kind of goes together. That combination can be harmful and can present a problem if they don't go through the if we do go through the tribulation. And those kind of people who have looked to the pre-trib rapture as their deliverance, along with we're supposed to be healthy and wealthy kind of stuff, they could be ripe for a great deception and disappointment. But you know, it's a concern. And so that's yeah.
And so
that's
when we see in Scripture the great rebellion happening, you know, as Paul tells the things in 1 Thessalonians.
2 Thessalonians.
Do you think
we've
already experienced? Is it second? Okay. You know, this is not going to happen until the rebellion happens.
The apostasy. Yes. Okay. Uh huh.
Do you think that we have already experienced that rebellion? I know we are
experiencing it.
You know, like.
We are experiencing
right now, like with the loving of self, and just in the last 50 years, something like that.
Well, here's the thing: when you don't believe in transcendental truth, when you don't believe in a transcendental being and a God, an absolute transcendental being, then there can be no transcendental truths. Transcendental truths are those truths that exist apart from you. And when you deny the supremacy and transcendence of the Christian God, then what happens connecting down the road to the dots here is that morality and truth become subjective, and inside of that becomes weak, and the problems arise out of that basic kind of a philosophy. And I forgot why I brought it up. You made a point, and I was going to tie it in, but I forgot.
About the rebellion happening, and if we're seeing that right now.
Oh, yes, thank you. And so the apostasy talks about what's going to happen in the Christian church. That's what apostasy means. Now, the Roman Catholic Church is apostate, but the Protestant denominations are now moving towards apostasy at an increasing rate. And there are signs of the apostasy within Protestantism. Women pastors and elders, for example. The idea of approving of homosexuality as an alternative lifestyle. Or the Bible is used as a springboard for storytelling time to make people feel good about stuff. Not equipping the Christians for the work of ministry, teaching them that they're going to be comfortable and that God has the best plan for you. We have charlatans teaching this stuff that God just loves you so much, everything's going to be just wonderful. And as I was watching this stupid Sid Roth commercial thing today, stuff about making your decrees, and you can decree things. Oh, my goodness.
It's word of faith.
Oh, man, it's sickening.
There's a word of faith creeping in.
Yeah, word of faith. And so that's one of the signs of the apostasy as well. Plus, the New Age movement is creeping into the church with centering prayer, with visualizations and things like this. And it all comes down.
Would you say Bethel Church is propagating heresy?
Yes.
Have they gone that far?
Yeah, they are.
I've kind of not been fully right off or not.
Yeah, you're breaking up, so hard to understand you. But yes, Bethel Church has got a lot of problems in it. And one of the things I need to do is to do an expose on them as well. But, you know, I've got so much to do.
Too many things to do.
Yeah, I work 10-hour days.
Well,
6 days a week. For real.
Well, thank you for all you do. It's really been a big help to me, and I know many, many others.
Okay. Well, praise God, you know. Just pray for this ministry. It's always under attack, and the people involved with it often become victims, you know, very spiritual attacks as well. So we need prayer. We need financial support. One of the things I want to do, I'm just give us a plug right now. We don't have enough money to hire another person. We need tech video people who I can do videos with, and they can put all the video work together. Because we need to start doing videos more and more, and but I can't do it all myself, which means lighting, editing, filming, transferring, tech stuff, all this stuff. It's just a lot of work, and so we need help. We need finances for that.
Yeah.
So to do as much as we can.
Okay. Well, yeah. We my wife and I have very much seriously considering financially supporting you guys, even if it's, you know, $10 a month or something.
Yeah, I was saying it generically to the body of Christ. You know, even if it's just $5 or $10, we don't. You know, it doesn't matter. But every little bit helps. We're just trying to expand the kingdom of God, and not preach Amen. And teach the heresies and milquetoast theology. No, and
well,
I call it Diaperinian theology.
Diaperinians,
that's right. They're Diaperinians.
Good.
Yep.
That's good. Well, I know you have much time, so my wife and I watched this sermon with Jeff Durbin on Apologia Studios, a sermon to the Arizona governor, and I thought he put everything together. Are you familiar with Jeff Durbin?
Oh, yeah. I have. Yeah, we've talked. Oh, there's the music. Got to go, buddy.
Okay. All right, man. Good chat. Thank you for the
interview. All right. Okay, God bless. All right, folks, we're out of here. May the Lord bless you, and by His grace, we'll be back on here tomorrow. And hopefully, everything will go well. We'll talk to them. We'll see you. God bless. Bye.